Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us this morning, we really want you to know that you are indeed our honored guest, and we are so excited that you have decided to spend time with us in God's Word, learning more about what He has to say on the matter. And we want you to know that anytime you're able to come out and worship with us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ in spirit and truth, I promise you it is our prayer that you do just that. And to the saints here, let us continually be encouraged because God loves us. And we have been blessed with another opportunity to spend time with Him, to sing praises unto Him, to glorify His name. And we ought to take full advantage of that. And I want us to be reminded that we must give God our all. Give Him our best. Because He gave us His. He died for us, giving us an opportunity of everlasting and eternal life. And so He died for us. We ought to live a life dying to Him. And when it's all said and done, on this journey, as we walk on this time side of life, I want you to know that I love you. And there's nothing, and I mean nothing, you can do about that. As you know, it is the beginning of the month, and it is another lesson that you will hear from our 2025 theme, Make Me a Servant. And our scripture text for the theme is Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. And it reads that even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. And as we go along through this year with this 2025 theme of Make Me a Servant, the purpose of it is to better appreciate Jesus and His ultimate example of servitude. Being who He was, He did not have to do what He did the way that He did. And we should learn most from Him. Secondly, we want to be better at understanding ways that we as believers and Christians can serve in God's kingdom, finding those talents that we have and our role and our place in our local congregation serving for the Lord. And last, to better see what sort of kind of servant we could be. And most importantly, being the type of servant that this world can see. And the one that they need to see is the one that Jesus is in us. And so when they look at us, they need to see Christ. And of course, we have some themes and some sermons that are coming up. And if you get an opportunity, you can go on the website and look. But we have so many different ways that we can serve. And hopefully I can bring some lessons to you that will help you in becoming a better servant for the Lord. And as you know, in our 2025 theme, we've been talking about servitude. And we're going to talk about servitude in so many different ways. But I think that the point is, we as Christians should have a goal of being a servant like Jesus the Christ. And there are certainly plenty of examples for us to learn from in the Bible about servitude and how we can serve like Christ did. And we can also learn how to embody the very essence of the character of Christ and be the kind of servant that is pleasing to God. We see people like Joseph and the story of him in the book of Genesis, an appalling example of how to overcome adversity despite family drama, despite going through all those things, but being faithful as a servant to God. Queen Esther, her bravery in approaching the king on the behalf of her people, putting herself out there, risking her own life, exemplifies courage and selflessness. Mary, the mother of Jesus, exhibited a great faith and a humility, accepting God's plan for her life, her willingness to bear the Son of God and raise Him in obedience to God's will. The Apostle Paul, who's been through a lot of things, the transformation from an assassin to an ambassador for Christ. These faithful servants in the Bible should inspire us so that we can be devoted to the things of God, trusting Him in His promises, trusting Him in what He commands, and being obedient and loving others sacrificially. But you know, being a servant is not just about following rules or just doing tasks. It's more profound than that. And being a servant is not just something we do, but it is a lifestyle and a mindset. I know that we live in a world who does not grasp the beauty of servitude. We live in a world where the top selling books are about love and self more than the free gift of God's word. And that word sits on a shelf where it collects dust. But I'm here to encourage you to open up the pages of God's word so that we can learn more about what God has to say about serving, because serving is not something that is dormant. Serving is an active thing. And as we go through the scriptures this morning, I want us to remember our role as Christians in serving others. Because I believe that serving others is not only a beautiful practice, but it is a command from God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16 says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God." So this morning we will be talking from the subject matter, sacrificial servant. Sacrificial servant. In our reading this morning, I thank our brother Corey for reading that scripture for us. It is a wonderful scripture. And I want us to really appreciate the verses in Isaiah, because again, this is not how most people view servitude. They don't look at servant, or you even hear the word servant, and it's not the image that people get. When you think about servant, most people hear servant, it conjures up negative things. Like servitude is something that's weak. Servitude is something that you hold your head low and you bend your back and you just kind of be quiet and you don't do much. I think that we can look at examples throughout history and in the Bible that tells us a different story about serving. Serving is not something that is a downtrodden thing, and it should not bring about shame. I look at it, Isaiah 53, and I just think that how it describes the Son of God in the way that it does, it should encourage us. Because He was willing to do some things, the endurance that He had, the sacrifice. I think these scriptures do something, if we are willing to look a little bit deeper, that shows us about the loving, faithful, obedient, sacrificial Lamb of God who was willing to go through all of the things that He suffered for you and for me. And so when I was looking at verse 5, which stuck out to me, it says, "But He was pierced for our transgressions." This is Isaiah 53. "He was pierced for our transgressions," verse 5. "He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds we are healed." So as we talk about the sacrificial servant this morning, I want you to keep in mind this perfect example that Jesus gives us. And when you hear the word servant, I no longer want you to think of it as something weak, but something that is strong. There is a beauty in servitude and not humiliation. You know, years ago there was this young man who him and his friends made fun of this crippled man that lived in the neighborhood. And this young man, he and his friends, his name is Freddie. And Freddie and his friends, they had a gang name. They called themselves the Ruffins. And so what they do is they go around and just do what little kids do. They had a little bike gang. They're about 15 years old. And this old gentleman walks around. He's crippled. He's bent over. It just looks very painful, but they make fun of him. They call him Mr. Old Rattled Bones. And Mr. Old Rattlebones will walk through the neighborhood or go to the local grocery store, and they'll holler out, "There goes Mr. Old Rattlebones." And one day, Freddie saw Mr. Old Rattlebones walking towards his house. Now, mind you, all his friends make fun of him all the time, and now they're making fun of him because Mr. Old Rattlebones is walking towards his home. And Freddie begins to feel some anxiety, and his friends are making fun of him, and then he screams it out even more, "Why are you going to my house?" And so he gets to the door, and he can see from afar his mother, and his mother lets Mr. Old Rattlebones in. And in the same token, while he's standing there with his friends, his mother calls him and says, "I need you to come into the house as well." And he comes in and he sees Mr. Old Rattlebones sitting at the table, and he's laughing under his breath, and he says, "I know you're wondering why I am here." And he says, "I am here because I came to tell you why I am crippled." And so his mother says, "Sit down and listen." And he begins to tell the story. And he starts off by saying, "I remember when you were just a baby. And your babysitter, the nurse, was watching you. And she decided to take you for a stroll along the riverside. And she took her eyes off you for just a moment. And the bassinet began to roll down the side of the river. And as it done so, it tumbled over into an ice cold river. And I jumped in without even thinking about it. And that water was cold, the currents were pulling, but I managed to bring you to safety. And before anybody could get my name, I left. Well, because of my rheumatic condition, it caused me to become crippled. And here we are, 15 years later, and you call me Old Rattlebones. But I came to let you know that I saved your life. And as a result, I'm crippled." The little boy began to well up in his eyes, and he started to cry. And when he gathered himself, he said, "Please, sir, forgive me for calling you Mr. Old Rattlebones." And he said, "Thank you for saving my life. I did not know who you were." See, this young man didn't know who this man was. He did not know what this man suffered. He did not understand his sacrifice, and that sacrifice was the very thing that saved his life. That sounds like so many today, even Christians, because some of them today don't know who God is. And what they need to know is he came in the form of a man and he sacrificed his life, saving us. And there are still many who don't know who he is. So my first point this morning is we have to believe in God's word and being a servant like Jesus. I believe that Isaiah 53 brings with a question from the very beginning. Who has believed that he has heard from us? It sounds like there were those in Isaiah's day who didn't believe and were reporting some that did not. And even the people of Jesus' day did not know who their Savior was. And not only did they not know, those who knew something despised and rejected him. Over in John chapter 1, looking at verses 10 and 11, the infallible word of God says, John reported that he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And all those intervening years between Isaiah and John, the unbelief of Israel continued. When Christ was born, few accepted him, for who he was or for him to appear. But when he came as a sacrificial servant, and they did not know who he was. That's why our theme is in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45 as our scripture, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom. Let me tell you something, beloved. Being a servant isn't a glamorous thing. Especially a servant who is willing to let go of self. Now, I want you to know that it's not an easy thing, but being a sacrificial servant may not look glamorous, but I can guarantee you it is rewarding. Turn your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 2 or your electronic devices and follow along with me this morning. It's Philippians chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 8. It's Philippians chapter 2. And we'll be looking at verses 5 through 8. It says, have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, when Jesus emptied himself, I hope we do, that he didn't empty himself of his deity. That's not what he did. He did not give up being God. That is who he is. But what he gave up was not the deity, but the perks and the privileges that were his because the Father had granted them to him. Now, I want you to think about that, because he was willing to let go of those privileges. You know, the privileges that we have. You know, the things that we have been so graciously being born in America, having the things that we have, the life that we have, those privileges. He came to earth and he died the most excruciating death on account of us. I can only imagine. I don't think we could even fathom the ideal of what he went through, the pain. But it shows us what sacrificial servitude looks like. And it's not a pretty picture. But we should never go through life thinking that we cannot be sacrificial servants. Sacrificial servitude is going above and beyond what you think. Sacrificial servitude is saying hello to people who don't even speak to you. I'm gonna be honest with you. I have had people who don't even speak to me. If I don't say anything to them, they won't say anything to me. But let me tell you what sacrificial servitude looks like. It looks like I'm still going to say hello. I'm still going to say good morning. I'm still going to give of my time, whether it's an inconvenience for me. That's what sacrificial servitude looks like. You're still giving when no one is giving to you. Sacrificial servitude looks like I'm doing this even though I get nothing out of the deal. I'm doing it because it's also a command from God, and it is something that we should do as believers and followers of Christ. Let me tell you something. We can't stop, you know, speaking to one another. It's folks in here right now that maybe you got an altar gig. You got to let that go. We can't come here and say that we're followers of Christ and we have an alt with our brother and sister. The very people you sit in the pew with, you don't even speak to that person. That's your brother and sister in Christ. Let it go. If you got an alt, then you need to fix it. And that comes with forgiveness. It's that simple, because God said so. I was talking to the young people in class today and I said, what do you think is the difference? Because we're told to love our neighbors, right? As ourselves. And then, of course, I try to, you know, because I'm in there with mostly the ladies. And so I try to come up with examples that really kind of, you know, put some pressure on them. So I threw up. I said, if there was a homeless man and Zac Efron, which one would you help? And they was like, well, Zac Efron isn't cute anymore. He used to be. I said, okay. Well, back when Zach was cute. How about that? But then they came over some other ones. Somebody said Michael B. Jordan was one, and Matthew McConaughey was another one. Whatever. So, I said, there are two standing there. Who would you help? I would help Matthew McConaughey. I would help Michael B. Jordan. I said, do you know why? Because it's easier. It's easier to love and be sacrificial to someone who's talented, someone who's beautiful, you know, someone who has something going for themselves, and even more so that they can return the favor. But what about the homeless person? What about the man that's there on the street that he's asking for the same thing? The sacrifice is saying to myself, just as God said, that there is no partiality. I'm not going to separate it. We're on an even playing field. And then I told him, I said, can you imagine, since it matters sometimes how a person looks, if you left and you came back 10 years later and you visited a church or your friend visited a church and you saw me standing on the corner with a sign, shaking, looking like I've had the worst time of my life and I'm asking for money, would you help me? Most of them say, yeah. You know why? Because you know me. But what about those who pass by me daily who didn't know that I was a preacher, I was a father, I was a husband, I was a lover of God's word, a preacher of God's word, an advocate, an ambassador for Christ? What about those people? And they walk right by. That's what sacrificial servitude looks like. I'm doing it even though I will not get anything in return. And that is the attitude that we ought to have, not just with strangers, but with our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. I don't think it should ever be a time that goes by that when you come to this place and we worship together and we say that we love the Lord, that you should have an altar against your brother or sister. Something that could easily be rectified by just having a conversation or saying, forgive me. And most of the time it is a misunderstanding. And it could be easily fixed. Now, again, when you think about servitude and what that looks like, we have to have a sacrificial attitude. In Philippians chapter 2, looking at verses 1 through 4, it says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. And I'm telling you, that may not be easy, but it is necessary, and it is the word of God. You ain't got to like it. You ain't got to like it, but that's what the word of God says. And if you're saying you are a believer and you are a follower of God's word, this is what we should keep in mind. You ought to be encouraged about this. And it says, let each of you look not only to his own interests. So I'm not just doing this because I know you would do it for me or I get something in return. It's because God said so. And what I'm doing is not for the interest of myself, it's for the interest of you. I'm not doing this because it's so much about benefiting me. It's so much because I want to help you. And that is the heart that we have to have. Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter to the church. You think he was in a great mood going through everything that he was going, and yet he was still thinking about encouraging them. And some of us are going through some trying times and we're going through things that people cannot imagine in your homes, in your relationships, at your job, whatever that is that you're battling with. And yet you still have to put others before yourself. And let me say this, though. I can say at this particular congregation, I have seen others do just that. This is a generous congregation and I have been a benefactor of that generosity. Things where I go, wow, I did not see that coming, but thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm sure it was not easy for them to take from themselves and give or pour into me. And yet they did so. And I've seen this congregation do that time and time again with one another. But there are also times where we have to go above and beyond from self and think about others. And so when doing that, though, we have to understand that this comes with some conditions. And one of those is not complaining, not whining about what God has called us to do. And we understand, despite the conditions that Paul was, the mission continues. I'll say that again. Despite how you feel, the mission must continue. So that means I cannot deviate from the word of God and what I've been commanded to do because folk getting on my nerves. Because they're unwilling to change. Let me tell you something. If they won't change for God, why do you think they're going to change for you? So what needs to happen is if they don't change, guess who changes? You change. My mother always said, if you want to see change, be the change that you want to see in other people. So if you want some people to do better and act better and be better, then you got to show them how it's done. And you do so by following the word of God. So in knowing that, you got to know that when you do this, because remember I told you, you signed up for this course, you're a part of this class, and you can't drop it. So you saying I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of God's word, you got to understand something. You got to understand that you will be despised in this world because you have decided to be a servant of the Lord. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. Let's look at verses 18 through 22. The word of God tells us, the infallible word of God tells us. He says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. It's difficult. So if you think that it's easy, you have been mistaken. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're showing sacrificial love, because you are being a follower of Christ, you're showing the characteristics of Christ, they got a problem with you. But because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. Remember that the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, which is the master, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things that will do to you on account of my name is because they do not know who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sins. And neither do we. We have no excuse for not being the sacrificial servants that God has called us to be. Have you ever seen those videos where the street preacher is out preaching and is usually doing some type of parade or some type of standoff, and they stand out there with their big microphones whatever type of mics they have, and you know, and they're just saying, you know, you need to change, accept God, you know, repent of your sins, you sinners, and they're right in the middle of Pride Week or month or whatever, and they're just preaching, they're just standing for the truth as best they can, and those people are saying all types of vile, disrespectful things, you know, blaspheming against God, and they're just standing there trying to preach the truth. There's one guy who came up to this preacher, and this is why he's preaching. You know, it's like you got your phone out and you're trying to do your thing and show people that you're standing for the truth and you have the courage to do it. And he's being recorded, and the guy comes up to him and says, "I remember you when you attended high school where I did. You were cruel and you were a bully." This is why he's standing there trying to preach, telling those people, "You're going to hell because of your sin." This guy comes up to him and says, "I remember you. I remember how you treated me in school. You were a bully. You were evil. You hung out and you smoked and you did all these things." And the preacher looked at him and said, "Yeah, I was a terrible person back then. I was awful. And I wasn't a Christian, and I didn't know who Christ was, but Christ saved me. And now I am a Christian, and he's able to save you." When I saw that, because the guy just walked away, when I saw that, I wanted to say, I said, let me consider a few things about this. Most importantly, what I saw was our influence on the world as Christians. Now, granted, we understand that the world is watching and waiting for you to make mistakes the moment you say that you are a follower of Christ, that I am a believer, I stand for the truth. They just sit back and wait for that moment. And while we are all human, because I can attest to it that I am not perfect by any means and I have made many mistakes, I understand something very important. People remember how you show up and not what you say. That man was out there trying to preach the gospel, and the only thing that he remembered was what he showed him when he was in school. What I'm saying is, when I think about our influence as Christians, how we show up in this world will determine the response. Now, granted, he preached to him. He was trying to share the gospel with him, and he did not accept that. And that's on him. And maybe he probably said to himself, if I was in as a Christian, or if I was in Christ at that time, that man would obey the gospel. Maybe he would have, maybe he wouldn't. But the point is this: how we show up in the world makes the better, or I mean, it has a larger impact than our lip service. So when I tell you that being a sacrificial servant is not only something that is commanded, it's something we must practice, it got to show up in how we live if we're going to impact the world. I think about it. He probably didn't grow up in a Christian home, or maybe he did, but at the end of the day, the fact that he was representing God, the world was going to hate him. And let me tell you why. It dawned on me. So why do people get so mad when there's somebody out there just preaching the gospel? It's because that everyone else outside of the household of faith, meaning that they believe in the word of God, they have obeyed the gospel, they trust in God's word, they have faith, they believe in those things, are separate from the people who have bought into the lie. The word of God is truth. And if I have invested in a lie, what you have done, you have exposed the fact that I have bought into the lie. And most of the time, people get upset. That's why they say the truth hurts. Do you know why? Because it does. It exposes the fact that you have bought into falsehood. The world hates God because he is truth. He is truth. And I'm going to tell you something. The world can't relate to him when you hate the truth. So when you hate the truth and you don't want to hear the truth, you're going to get angry. You're going to act out. You're going to do all kinds of stuff that doesn't even make sense because you are unwilling to accept the fact that you are wrong. So your hate in reality is you hurt. You got exposed and your feelings hurt. That's why most folk leave the church. Not because the preacher wasn't speaking the truth. You got upset because you were exposed through the word of God and you didn't like what God had to say on the matter, which is a heart problem. And so that heart problem turned into hurt and resentment. This younger preacher probably lost that young man. Who knows? Or maybe he planted a seed. But I'm sure he thought about this in his past and his failures and what he could have done better. But the only thing that I really saw was this young man not wanting to accept the word so much, and he was so hurt by what happened and through his word, he was trying to humiliate the preacher instead of humbling himself to hear what God had to say on the matter. And that's my point. You're so hurt that you can't humble yourself to hear what God has to say on the matter. And that's the issue. But let me tell you something. You got to stay focused. As believers and sacrificial Christians and servants of God, James chapter 2, 1 through 4 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials. You're going to meet all kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect. We got to let it take its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking anything. And you got to stay strong and do not get deterred so easily. So what that means is this. My last point is you got to understand something really important as a sacrificial servant. You got to understand that there's a cost. You have to understand that there's a cost. Anyone dedicating their life to follow Christ must understand there's a cost. I don't know what the cost will be for you in your life, but there is a price to pay for following Jesus. And I don't care how much it costs. It will never be more important than what Jesus did for you on that cross. It will never equate to it. I don't care how hard it is. And I think Paul understood something about that. You know, he went from zero to hero because he humbled himself and he said, I understand the cost. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, 7 through 11, but whatever I gained, I had, I counted it as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I counted everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything that I lost, it was worth this. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. They don't even mean anything in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Beloved, let me tell you something. I know that a lot of you had to give up a lot in order to be a follower of Christ. Ask me how I know. Because I had to give up. And let me tell you what I'm talking about. Relationships, family members, job opportunities. Oh, and that once in a lifetime opportunity to have fun. You're going to miss out on this. Hey man, let's get on this. Let's do this. All those things you gave up, bad habits, all the things that was really feeling good to your flesh. You gave all those things up. And I know that it hurts. I know that it's hard. But all I want you to do is whenever you consider your past life as a landfill, which it may have been, you need to understand what God gave up for you. And the bigger picture is if I gave up family, if I gave up money, if I gave up job opportunities, I had an opportunity to explore the world. I had an opportunity to be great, but I gave it all up for Christ. What did you gain in return? Eternal life. So let me ask you a question. You want riches or you want eternal life? You want the house that you've always dreamed of or you want eternal life? Do you want the man that you know you aren't supposed to be with or you want eternal life? Do you want the woman that you know you're not supposed to be with or you want eternal life? Or perhaps jeopardizing your salvation just to be in close with the family. There are folks that ain't talked to their mothers, their fathers, their brothers and sisters for the cause of Christ. Because they're unwilling to change. That's a sacrifice. That's not easy. It's not easy to tell somebody in your family that you love, man, I can't hang out with you no more. Because you're living in sin and you refuse to do something different. No matter what I do, no matter what I try. And then all it does is turns into an argument for you to blaspheme against God. I know it's hard, but I can say this. It was worth the sacrifice. Again, it will cost you something, but if you follow Christ, it brings things to us that are in His Word. And that's what we want to do. We want to line up with His Word. But if you do not, you will be in direct opposition of His Word. In Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 26, it says, "Then Jesus told His disciples, 'Anyone to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give up in return for his soul?'" When we are prepared by believing in God's word and understand what sacrificial serving is, we understand that it comes with a cost. And the question is, what am I willing to give up for God? What could there ever be that's more important than pleasing God? Anybody know? Is there anything worth losing your soul for? Anything? Can you name it? Please tell me. Nothing. There is nothing worth more than pleasing God. And serving sacrificially isn't about you in the first place. That's part of the problem. You think servitude is about you, but it's not. Serving is about glorifying God and showing others the Christ in us so they can say, "I want to do that. I want to be a part of that. I want to understand how you're able to do what you're doing with a smile on your face. You're counting it all joy, even though you're in the midst of a storm. You're still serving this God, even though you live in a world filled with pain." That's motivating. People want to know more. And then we got to show up with Christ in our hearts. Not lip service. You know, I was thinking about it. None of us will ever come close to even some of the men in the Bible, let alone Christ, when it comes to suffering. We don't even scratch the surface. And we be feeling like it's the worst thing in the world to think of others before ourselves. And it's not always about giving money. That's not what I'm talking about. It's more than that. No one in this congregation should ever feel like they're not loved by their brothers or sisters. Ever. I should never have a side conversation about somebody saying, "Well, they don't speak to me and they don't treat me like this and I can feel this and that and I'm thinking about leaving." You don't know how many conversations I've had. Begging people, "Hey, don't leave. Don't give up. Because you're not giving up on me. You're giving up on God. You giving up on your brothers and sisters because your feelings hurt." But that's not how we ought to be. You don't think nobody ain't hurt my feelings before? You don't think somebody has said something out of the way about me, my wife, my kids, or what I do, or how I look, what my hair look like, what I'm doing, why you doing this, why you talking about that? You talk about this too much. You do this too much. You walk around too much. This and that. I was talking to my brother today. I said, "You know what? I understand why it don't even bother me no more. Because I used to be nervous as a wreck. I'm like, I gotta go up there and I gotta do good. You gotta do good." And I remember I learned this when I was talking to Matt. I said, "The people didn't come for the tree; they came for the fruit. You didn't come for me." You came for the word of God. And if you're really paying attention, you ought to be pulling from that tree and you ought to be taking the seeds yourself and planting your own tree and producing your own fruit. I think about David in 2 Samuel 24 when King Arauna was trying to, he says, when he was doing the threshing floor. And David brought out the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 silvers of shekel. It's in 2 Samuel 24. And I just thought about what sacrifice means. Sacrificing as a servant. It requires something that most people don't have, and that's discipline. Being a sacrificial servant requires discipline. And when we sacrifice, we put aside our personal desires. And that's what I'm saying. That's what stands in the way. Self is standing in the way of you living sacrificially and serving that way. But discipline takes practice. And it's a way of living, a way that you have to live every day. And this discipline strengthens your faith. That's why it says steadfastness. You gotta be grounded in this, rooted in this. You can't stop me from doing this. There's nothing that you can say to take me out of the mindset that I want to live a life pleasing unto God, no matter what. I know some folk that would die trying to get to work. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, when a newscast come on and says, hey, listen, everybody, I want you to just stay in place. Do not leave. I repeat, do not leave your house. And it's folk going down the highway trying to get to work and it's 12 feet of snow. Sacrifice for a job, but no sacrifice for God. It requires something, and we gotta be able to do this. And when you demonstrate that Christ-like love, right, it brings about something. Sacrifice requires humility. Again, you know, it reminds us that when you humble yourself, what it really reminds you of is that this ain't about me and I'm not in control. That's what humility does. Because if you do it your way, I'm going to do it my way. But if I do it God's way, it's different. And it's putting others before yourself. And what it also does when you are humble, you acknowledge your limitations. That's what humility is. I acknowledge the fact that I don't have everything down. And I acknowledge the fact that I need to depend on God's strength. That's what humility is. Sacrifice also requires generosity. Sacrifice leads to generosity. Listen, when you give up something of value, whether it's your time, whether it's your money, whether it's your possessions, you develop a heart of generosity. And again, I have witnessed that here in this congregation, and I'm telling you, no one does it better. I appreciate each and every one of you. The generosity that we show to one another, especially when things aren't going well, we do that well. And this generosity not only blesses others, but it also transforms you. Again, the things that I saw people do for me, it made me want to do better. It was like, ain't no way that I can't do that. Especially if it's a person you know that don't even have it. You know they struggle. They go up and say, hey, listen, I know you're struggling too, but I want to help you. What do you think that does? That says, you know what? I want to do that. I want to exemplify that. That's how we got to be. And sacrifice requires forgiveness. Again, I told you, we got to let go. We got to let go and forgive one another and move forward. We got to stop with this stuff. We got to stop with this holding on and having resentment in our hearts. We have to love one another as Christ loved us. Listen, I know that you was hurt. I know that you felt probably slighted. I'm sure whatever they did may have good cause for you to be upset. But when you are in that mindset, the only thing I want you to do is think about what you did to put Christ on the cross. What did you do? What made you so perfect? And that's how we have to think. And lastly, our goal should be becoming more like Christ. Listen to what I'm saying. Not down the road, not a month from now, but every single day, beloved. You know, we act like becoming more like Christ is something you do later on. You know, like, well, my New Year's resolution is to lose weight. So you got a New Year's resolution in following Christ, being obedient to God's word? Not today and then the next day and the day after and the day after so I can become more like Christ? We have to have that, and we have to keep moving, and we have to keep growing. And the more we show this sacrificial love to one another, the world can change. I'm going to end with this. When I was growing up, one of the greatest artists of my time, especially when I was growing up, was Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was that dude. I mean, it was jokers that was getting them penny loafers and white socks, and it wasn't even the black ones. It was brown. You didn't care. You was just trying to moonwalk. You wanted to, man, Michael Jackson was the thing. And man, my favorite songs were Bad, you know I'm bad, and all those songs by Michael Jackson, and ooh, especially his earlier ones, right? When he was younger, and he was with the Jackson 5. I remember a song that came out, and it just hits so much differently now that I am a minister and a follower of God's word. When it first came out, I was like, man, nobody won't hear that one. Give me the other one. And that song was Man in the Mirror. That song, it hits so different for me now than it ever hit before. He says, I'm, right? He's looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. But check this part out. There is no message that could have been any clearer. So when you're looking at yourself in the mirror, what do you think God sees? Because God sees exactly what the world sees. You ain't fooling nobody. So when he says there is no message that can be any clearer, sacrificial servitude, there is no message that can be any clearer for us that are followers of Christ. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change. It ain't the person next to you. It ain't the person that made you mad. It ain't what happened to you when you was younger or at the other congregation. It's the man and woman in the mirror. And he said, I'm asking him to change his ways. God is saying, I'm giving you the grace to change what you're looking at right now. Because what I see is not a sacrificial servant, but what I desire for you to do is change and be more Christ-like so that you can make the world a better place. I told you, people look at how you show up, not what you say. So if you are here this morning, and you've been looking at the woman and the man in the mirror, and you don't like what you see, the word of God is asking you to change your ways. And I can promise you there's no message that's any clearer. And if you want to change, you can do so this morning by first dying to yourself. You looked at yourself and said, I don't like what I see. I'm ready to be a sacrificial servant for God. And if you are in Christ, and you have not displayed this characteristics, you are not sacrificing it. Let me tell you something. If you say that you are a sacrificial servant and you ain't feeling no pressure, are you really? If this is really easy for you, this ain't a nothing thing for you, are you really serving God the way that he requires us to serve? Because I feel pressure. I feel it every day. You think I don't get tired of folk? You think my feelings don't get hurt? You think I ain't cried? You think I ain't had conversations with Mike and Keith? What I'm going to do? How I'm going to handle this? What can we do? How can we save? How can we motivate? How can we help them change? How can we help them see? I want to throw my hands up too. But guess what? If I want to make the world a better place, I got to look at myself. And I'm willing to sacrifice what makes me feel good in order to glorify God. So if that is what you desire this morning, you can do so right now. Together we stand and sing.